shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege you've allowed us to come together to meditate upon a word that has been vindicated to us. We thank you for that, Lord. We know that many people listening to this message or reading it might not have the same feelings that we have toward it, but we believe this to be your word that you gave to us, telling us that the prophet bringing it for a New Year message, it certainly is going to be something new to us. And we're looking, Lord, at that fresh start that you're giving the church as you bring it back to virginity of the Word, O God, and then taking us on into the eternities. We know that's true, Lord. We know that there's a great deal of catching up to do. And that catching up, Lord, we know is in your hands. We don't have to worry about it. We just leave it with you. The future's secure because you have already pronounced it. We believe by faith we're a part of it. Instruct us even more this morning. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I suppose this is number 19. I trust it is number 19 of Shalom. And you'll notice that after Brother Branham has very pointedly and in a very detailed manner dealt with light and darkness as both the context and the reason for bringing God's peace or shalom, he assures us that his New Year's message is not simply a New Year's message that is dwelling upon time, like the flip of a calendar that moves from December 31st to January the 1st, meaning it's the same old thing, but he is in reality dealing with time in the light of the resurrection and consequently the rapture, because they go together, because time and eternity have blended with literally dead corruption, that's the graves, giving way to awakening incorruption, first resurrection, and walking mortality, pest houses, giving way to walking immortality. That's what's going to happen. He uses the words of Paul in Philippians 3, wherein he defines pressing toward the mark as the complete identification with Christ, as in Revelation 10 and 7, as he already has defined the morning star presence, because it's present, spoken of by Peter, and he says, is he amongst us, his word being identified. This is absolutely the shalom of the seventh seal, because he is quoting from it, where the place of the prophet in the presence of God, having come down upon earth, actually tells us that time and eternity have blended. This absolutely, without doubt, is 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 10 to 10, 7 to 10. And you are troubled, rest with us, relax. At the time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, of course, everybody thinks that is the literal second coming. And it's not so. This is the appearing. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished. Doesn't say they are punished at that time. It says shall be. With everlasting destruction of the presence of the Lord, that's Malachi, the fourth chapter, when the earth will burn like an oven. Not the white throne now and the renovation. This is the time of Elijah's appearing. The appearing of God, the same time. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be admired in his saints. Glorified in his saints and be admired in all that believe, because our testimony among you is believed that day. And of course, as I said, this is without a doubt also the fourth chapter of Malachi. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn like an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. The day that shall come to burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, it'll leave them neither root nor branch. And unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth as calves of the stall, and you'll tread down the wicked, for they shall be ash on the sole of your feet in the day that I do this. So this is just before the millennium. This is not the great white throne after the millennium. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command him in Horeb for all Israel's statutes and judgment. Now remember, this is Deuteronomy, which means twice given, which the law was given on Sinai, but grace was given upon Mount Horeb. So he says, don't remember Sinai. He says, remember Horeb. So in the day of judgment, a message of grace, favor, and peace, bringing relaxation, comes to the people. Now, for he said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and coming day of the Lord. That's verse 1, see? And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, because the first part was done already. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Remember, Jesus did not smite the earth with a curse after John the Baptist. Things went on very well. But remember, the earth gets smitten. And you realize this, the earth is already being smitten by the destroyers of the earth, whom God will destroy. So we're in that process. So, all right, we're going to go back then and read again from page 23, paragraph 141 to 43, and hopefully we'll be able to go on to some more paragraphs. All right. 141. Changing the pages or changing calendars. See, changing a calendar, changing a page, doesn't change time. Like the man said to his wife, same old thing, just new people. A lot of people say, well, the old year's gone, throw away the old December calendar now. Well, that's all right. And put up the one for a new year. Well, that's what it means to them. What does it mean to Brother Branham? But he tells you, 142, that's what it means to you and me too. I want to, number one, see what's promised for the day. I want to, number two, know what the light of the hour is so I can know how to walk in it. I want to know where I'm living, what age I'm in, how far I am to the place where the seventh church age ends and it's all over. I want to know, number one. And actually, number one should be number two. Because we are looking at the end time. Now, normally, number one is number one. And number two is number two. I want to know what's the promise for the day. I want to know what the light is. And I want to know where I am on the road. Well, he already told us that we are at Revelation 10 and 7. That's the last of it. The mysteries are all over. The gospel's run its course. So, we want to know where we are positively. Then we want to know the light that goes with that hour. That's why I say, number one can be number one many places. Another time, it can go down to number two. It can take second place. So, what we have, actually, we just simply put the two together. There has got to be an understanding somehow given us of where we are in God's time and what goes with it. Now, Brother Branham says, that is a true new year. Now, was he preaching that for 1964? Not really. He was preaching it for 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, letting you know, don't bother to count the years. That's why we got, some of us, I didn't, got led astray in 1977. He said he's going to be here. I said, the signs aren't in. I just quoted what Brother Branham quoted. The signs weren't in. How could it be? It couldn't be in 88. The signs weren't in. But 88 went a long way toward hurrying up the signs. Yes, sir. For the first time, they can all sit down and talk peace. And come sudden destruction. So, Brother Branham says here, do you really want to know people about a new year? Do you want to know about time? And what your little formula really should be in the light of eternity? He said, I'm talking about a new year where I want to see what's promised for the day. I want to know what the light is. That's the promise made manifest and interpreted to you so I can walk in it. I want to know if I'm really at the place where things are winding right down and it's over. Well, now, there's an interesting bit of scripture here in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, that we might look at. And it fits this day because Matthew 13 is a book of parables that comes after Matthew 12, which is the omega of the alpha ministry of Christ on earth. When the light and the word was here in flesh, so that he could say, he that seeth me has seen the Father. Now the same Spirit, the same one that was there in flesh is here in spirit. So chapter 13 will be remarkable for the Gentiles. The disciples came and said, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, heaven, and but to them it is not. In the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, the mysteries of God should be revealed. So you got a perfect parallel. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, that he shall have more abundance. To you that have the revelation that this is a vindicated prophet, that God's trying to do something to get you knowledgeable, you're in a position to receive the abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even what he hath. Now what I just said there, and you line it with Revelation, the third chapter, rich, increased in goods and lack nothing, knowing not, you're miserable, wretched, and blind, I count you to come to me, you can see that this fits perfectly. Their light becomes darkness. And they couldn't receive it, so they lose everything. Therefore I speak to them in parable, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In other words, he says, I am giving them parables. I'm giving them little lessons from nature. And they can't take it. So it's useless to preach doctrine. And the angel of God came to Brother Branham and said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. Now, where does it leave these people to say they believe the message? Quote, 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 quote. They know all about Brother Branham's hunting and fishing. They can tell you all about his visions and make up revelations about it. When it comes to the simple doctrine that he comes before he comes, he is here before he's here. They wouldn't touch that with a 40-foot pole. And they wouldn't have a clue to what it means, because they deny categorically that pillar of fire is still here. That God is still here somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. I believe those that don't believe that are going to burn because of that pillar of fire. You say what you want, but my Bible says otherwise. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Same old year. Flip the calendar. January 1st didn't mean one thing from December 31st. Just as blind and just as ignorant. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Exactly like 1 Corinthians 13, they came to the table of the Lord and left a worse people than when they came. And so those that sat under William, Mary, and Branham, prophet of God, vindicated by God Himself, left His meetings in worse shape than when they came. You can do the same thing in my meetings because I'm saying exactly what William Branham said. I'm not afraid that I'm not. You say, oh, believe they, you boast. Well, fine, I boast. I got no problem. You're the ones with the problem if you got it. And I don't think you have that problem. I think you believe me. I'm not lying to you. Their ears are dull of hearing. Now watch. And their eyes, they have closed. Hold your finger there. Turn with me to the 9th chapter of Romans. And it says here in verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared? It does not say that these vessels were fitted by God. They fitted themselves. Only the vessels of righteousness were prepared and fitted by God. Now let's look back here. Their eyes, they have closed. Now, come on. Let's just be very calm, very collected, and just look at this thing. Why don't people who say they believe this message believe what we preach? Why? They've closed their eyes to it. Nobody made them close their eyes. They closed their eyes to it. Just like the Pentecostal did. Are you going to stand around and contradict the prophet who said, my ministry is to declare that He is here? The same prophet who said there is no such thing as a genuine healing revival unless there's a new fresh message, because God doesn't give you the same old tired thing over again. Then there is a brand new message about the presence. What is it? Now, what's so utterly simple to you people, and gets simpler and simpler, to suddenly say, look, I can't see Him. I can't feel Him. I don't know anything except I know this. That is what talked to William Branham, and it worked. And he's here. Now, I don't care what a Jew says. I don't care what a Catholic says. I don't care what a Protestant says. Because William Branham wasn't any of those. I care what he says. And he says he's here. I don't have to understand it. But I know one thing. If I must understand it, I cannot understand it in the light of its former understanding. Or this same God that William Branham talks about is a little bit foolish, more foolish than William Branham. Oh, brother, sister, don't be confused with simplicity. Don't be confused because it's so simple. Yes, sirree. Let's keep reading. They closed your eyes. In the book of Revelation, it says, come and get the eye salve. You don't have it, but you can have it. But they don't like the source of it. Look it. We are a stubborn bunch of mules. That's our nature. How many times have we deliberately paid a bigger price for an article because we perhaps thoroughly disliked the person we could have got it from cheaper? Oh, you say, I'm a little smarter than that. But you're not perfectly smart. You've done it and I've done it too. There are certain things we can't stand, so we go someplace else. Why didn't those foolish virgins have oil? They couldn't stand what the wise had. to get theirs. So when they found they were plumb out of oil, they tried to get it elsewhere, and there was no price they could have paid to get it. They lost. Stubborn, mulish people. They were virgins, too, by the way. They're from up in the second resurrection. Too mulish. Lest any time they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, I should heal them. Now remember, that's also in Ephesians, the first chapter. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear. See and hear what? Just exactly that. No different. Except William Branham is not the virgin-born Son of God. But that's the same God that was in the virgin-born Son. No difference. Oh, everybody wants a different. Hey, if what we're saying is real, it's too bad I'm not Nelson guy. I could at least kick one foot over the pulpit and run screaming up and down the aisles. I'm real Pentecostal, and I can dance over this brother, sister. And I can be emotional and scream, and you can scream with me, but I will not be carried away by fluffed up junk. No. I'm too much of a dead Baptist for that, but I'm a living Baptist. I've been baptized correctly. You're all Baptists. We've been baptized correctly. Blessed are your eyes. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things you hear and have not heard them. Now listen. I don't care how big a prophet and how righteous any man is. He'll never see it. Even though he's a divine elect child of God, unless it's the hour to see it. Amen. And Brother Branham said, this is the hour and it's the new year. I want you people to always rejoice in. Don't flip a calendar from 31 to 1 and call it something. Flip your calendar from 31 to 1 and 1 to 2 and 2 to 3 and 3 to 4 and 4 to 5 and 5 to 6 until 365 days out of the year. Every year you're celebrating a new year because you're walking in the light and know the hour you're in. Now we're going someplace, not some stupid flipping the calendar. So I want to see. I want to know. I want to walk. I want to have it right down where I can handle it. That's what John said. We've handled the word of life. And he said, I want you to have the same kind of fellowship as Paul said. And it can stand quoting again, forgetting those things that are in the past. Now I press toward the mark, the high calling, to the complete identification when all time will fade out into eternity when Jesus will come. Time and eternity have already mixed in the presence of that one. At the coming, it's still going on mixed for 3.5 years. It's already fading. And Brother Branham said, this is what Paul spoke of. The day star, absolutely, Christ among us, the Word being manifested, proven, vindicated, and now we find Revelation 10, 1 to 7, particularly 7. Now he's quoting the Apostle Paul, Brother Branham is, from the book of Philippians. And he uses over here that 14th verse, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which he says is the perfect or the complete identification. I use the word perfect because that's what complete means and that's what perfect means. I switch back and forth. Brother Branham correctly used the word complete, which is perfect, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, when that which is perfect. So you see, he really was, he knew what he was talking about. It will fade out. Now, you will notice, as I told you previously, that Brother Branham said the Bible's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's full of interpolations. It follows the law of the parallelism of Scripture, which is easy to see in prophecy, light and dark, good and bad, curse and blessing. Always, you never see otherwise. All these wicked things that the people have heaped upon themselves religiously is suddenly hit by the parallel. But blessed are your eyes. See? Now, true spiritual doctrine is always accompanied by conduct. And here's where it gets tough. Because Paul and Brother Branham, and there's nobody who can do otherwise, will always mix in the conduct. That's where the legalists go haywire. And they say, hey, if I don't do so-and-so, God's stuck. I've got a responsibility here. And they take sovereignty out of the hands of God, not knowing that when God reveals His sovereignty, the passive faith, there's an active faith goes with it. And worse luck, it's written in parallels, which throws in the parentheses. The same as the blessing and cursing. You follow what I'm saying? All right, let's read the Bible. Second chapter of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, to stay equal with God, but emptied himself, made himself in a reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Now that's where the reputation changed. Only in the outward. God in a pillar of fire. No different from God in a man. God in an angel. God in a rainbow. God in a rushing wind. Whatever. No difference at all. He changed his form. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Adam and Eve didn't. They did wrong. How did he humble himself? Took the full scope of the word. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then you'll notice the results. Wherefore God highly exalted him. Give a name above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, under the earth. Every tongue confess it. Jesus Christ, Lord, the glory of God the Father. Now listen. That's the passive doctrine. You can't change that if you pray day and night. Bring your body to state. Do penance. Like the poor Catholics, flagellation, till your bodies bleed. And that's getting like Christ, because you're bleeding. You'll bleed and go to hell and burn for millions of years. But watch the active. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, Jesus obeyed. He didn't put his order above God's order. Now Paul's telling you do it. But that throws you for a loop. Let's go down, the doctrine follows out. You go to the third chapter. Watch in verse 7. But those things who were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained. He left it. Paul is paralleling himself to Jesus the Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now that's a reversal. Jesus came on down, literally became dung, born on a manure heap to lift us up. Paul takes his dung and lays it down to get lifted to God's glory. And listen, can you sit here this morning and take your creeds and your dogmas and your own thinking against the vindication? Oh, they get mad when I say manure head. Yeah, one fellow got really mad in Saskatchewan. He didn't know the line was open. Somebody was on it. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Tricky things could happen. And notice, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by him. Now let's find out where that is. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and it's in verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, made him the righteous one a sin offering, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what Paul says, I got it, because of what Jesus did. Now, he has linked up sovereignty, doctrinally, passive faith, with active faith. And as he showed the result of what God did with Jesus, he shows the result of what God did with Jesus in us. We have become the very righteousness of God. Now that is a statement that is right from the Greek. You and I stand here and you sit there and you say, well, I don't know if I can say I'm the righteousness of God. You certainly are not. You're a child of God in the mire and the muck and the mud. But in Christ Jesus, you have become the righteousness of God, because that was the one righteous body that God could take in a life and shed the blood and bring it back. Now you are the body of Christ. And there's where Paul identified himself. There's where you and I identify ourselves. Now let's keep moving. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what he said over there where God caught up Jesus and put him in his right hand. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The power of his resurrection. Then notice how he throws in again the conduct. Now let's leave the conduct. I'll read it my way. That I may know him and the power of the resurrection. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. I don't care what you do here. If you are not elected, you will never make it. But if you are elected, this is how you'll act. Your active faith give way to your passive faith. Now let's keep reading. Not as though it had already attained, or were already perfect, but I follow after it, if I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. Now what is he talking about? If I by any means might attain to the out resurrection from among the dead, which is the first resurrection. Just like Abraham and those men got. Now let's watch it. He said, I haven't got there. But he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. He just skipped the rest. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's what it says in Ephesians, the first chapter. From whence we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our bodies of humiliation. Jesus took on a body of humiliation. He ended our humiliation. We whose souls should have had the theophany are humiliated. This body's not worthy of the soul that came from God. But it will be. Because it's going to be changed. That it may be fashioned like his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all to himself. And remember, it's in the shout when he comes down that he starts subduing. Putting the church in order so the dead can come out of the ground. Now, let's watch what I'm driving at. What I believe Brother Branham was showing us. He said, when Paul said, I press toward the mark, he was looking for the complete identification. Now watch. Pardon my shouting, but I'm going to yell. Then I'm going to quit. And be found in him. Verse 9. Not having mine own righteousness, which the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He was thoroughly identified with that. We are the righteousness of Christ. But he wasn't identified with this. What's the complete identification? Be caught up in the first resurrection to be with him. You see what he's saying? Paul was pressing into it. And he said to the women who typed the church, press into Christ. Press into the resurrection. Press into the identification. which is the revelation of Ephesians, the first chapter, after you got the Holy Ghost. And if you've got the Holy Ghost in this hour, in this age, you can be a candidate. That Spirit right there in a pillar of fire, dealing through a prophet. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom, the revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what the hope of His calling, and what the riches of glory and inheritance of the saints. Paul himself foretold it, but he didn't have it. What's it going to do? It'll bring forth the exceeding greatness of His power to us who do believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ. And Paul said, I pressed to it, but I haven't been apprehended for it at this time. I'm looking down the road, and God has set His seal upon me to be one of His resurrected children up there. But He said, I'm pressing to it, but I haven't apprehended it. William Branham apprehended it for you and me, brother, sister. He himself could not stay here. No prophet can. They've got to go. But you and I press into it. How? Through the complete identification. There it is, and there it is. And listen, these sermons tell you about it. You see why Brother Branham said it? Oh, let me tell you something, brother, sister. I don't care who you are. You got the Holy Ghost. You be Brother Branham. God is showing this book what the prophet said. And he never said one word outside the Scripture. The only trouble is, just like Jesus Christ, he told them what it meant, but they had their own ideas. So they crucified him. Got a little time then? Okay, let's keep reading. Do now listen. Let's read the next two paragraphs. He's going to give you a little clue about the whole thing. He doesn't tell you do this, do that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, women do this, men do this, and get this and get this. Watch what he says. Do as David did. Put your future into his hands. Don't look to anything else. Now, hold it. Everybody else says that. Leave the unknown future in the Master's hand. They don't know what it is. The unknown future at this particular point, brother, sister, from what the prophet revealed, is how do we conduct ourselves in the millennium, maybe. But you got a complete revelation outside of a lot of things. Now, Brother Branham, having given us the revelation, says this. Listen, we know the hour in which we live. We have a revelation. We know we're walking in justified faith. We're walking in full assurance. We're not guessing anymore. That which is perfect has come. Now, with that in mind, don't attempt to explore the future. What you don't know outside this word, close it off. Forget. Don't leave anything else. David said here, my time is in his hand. You notice here in the psalm we read in 62, my time is in his hand. He is my rock. What is he? He's the revealed word. He is not the rock unless he's the revealed word. You do not have a rock today to stand on. You do not have a rock to hide behind. You don't have a rock of revelation like Moses did to stand in the rock and see him pass by. You don't. Unless he's revealing. That means the word's revealed. Whether you know it or not, you've stood with Moses in the cleft of the rock. You know that? You've stood with the prophets and are standing with him. What more do you want? What is he? He is revealed to me. He is the revealed truth. My time is in his hand. Amen. Oh my. There you are. What is it? You can see positively we are now in the midst of Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. If we are a part of the shout, we are a part of the voice, we are a part of the trumpet. It cannot be otherwise. From the seed to the green to the seed. And from the seed, there's three stages. And it's the same as the shout, the voice, the trump. Takes you right to the millennium. Waiting supper a little bit. Now watch, my time belongs to him. I am his. I'm in his hand because he holds the time. Now why can he say that? Because I recognize the time in which I live. You say, hey, are you trying to tell me that you recognize this and this is to get this. What do you think happened when Jesus was here in the flesh? Do you think those that recognize Him then unrecognized Him? You got to be stupid. Now see, I've been mean this morning for the first time. You have got to be spiritually ignorant and gross darkness. Don't you understand that's what it's all about, recognition? Oh, they said, William Branham, that's an evil spirit. That guy's name, I think, was Hollingsworth down there in Florida. He wouldn't let his piano player play for Brother Branham. He said he's got a familiar spirit. I wonder how familiar he is now that he's dead. Well, said, Brother Vail, you should talk nice about people. You talk nice about people. I'm not a hypocrite. The man called Brother Branham a devil. I've said to other men, right in a meeting, you make William Branham a false prophet, you won't get away with it. You make me a goat, that's okay. Right here in this area. Bill, you were there that night. You sat there. Norm, you were there. You sat there. You didn't know much, either one of you. You better know now. Don't make William Branham a false prophet. You see where you go? What are you recognizing today? Does it take simple recognition? If you don't recognize, how are you going to walk with Him? Where are you this morning? A simple act of recognition puts you in the Beloved. Your intimate depth of knowledge is not what matters. So you better have some. Because I can't recognize a rose unless I have got a little knowledge about roses. The recognition. I'm His. I'm in His hand because He holds the time. What time? The time that I recognize. Paul could not identify with the time. He identified with the word of the time in the sense that he knew it was there. And if he ever got that far, he'd be a part of it. He couldn't get that far. William Branham did. Recognizing the time. Remember Brother Branham used it to sermon, recognizing the time? Oh, every sermon, he said, just makes it clearer and clearer. I love it. And if I can help you, I'm more than gratified. I don't want to bawl you out. I just want to shake you up. I don't know what the future holds, but I know He holds the future. Why? He proved it. Not by the flip of a calendar, but by vindication. Manifestation, picture taking. There it is again. So He holds the future, holds me. I'm a part of it. I am a part of time already blended with eternity as my spiritual forefathers couldn't. Because they had to die. They had a promise being eternal by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, showing they were children of God. They'd come up in the resurrection. But we have a promise today. We don't even die. Some of you people, I have great faith for you that you will not die. Now, I can well die. And I don't mind dying. I think it's a good thing. I get some of both that way. No problem. No problem at all. But that's what the time is. So Brother Branham now continues and he said, so why should I think about setting forth this, that, or the other for the new year? Why should I bother making my plans like the world and the dead churches? My plans are to get out of here, immortal. For I have seen the glory of the Lord and have become a part of it. I am a part of that stupid thing, and I'm a part of that stupid thing. Hallelujah, because God takes stupid little babies that don't know any more than to grab their mother's breast and suck on it and be handled around. And Brother Branham preached the whole sermon on El Shaddai, the breasted one. Trouble is, people don't just take time with letting the Holy Spirit bring these things to our consciousness. I just put myself in His hands and walk like David did. My time's in His hand. Knew that God held the future. Knew that God held the future, not the devil. God is putting under subjection everything to the feet of Jesus, and I am part of the church subject to the head. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go where my head is. Because who wants a headless body? Fool. You're no better than that dead hog we saw in the pond out here at Man's Farm. If you don't have a head. I'm going to where my head is. He controls it. David didn't know what the future was, but he knew God had the future. How? God has it. It's passing from Satan to God. The book of redemption, taken out of God's hand, proved by the prophet, shows that the title deed has gone back to God. We're in transition. God Himself putting all things under the feet of Jesus and consequently yours and mine. I said, consequently yours and mine. Because the head is only a part of the body. We're the rest of it. He knew God had the future. And if David could know, in this wicked world of condemnation and vicissitudes, of certain death because he'd have to die and certain rigorous problems, and if God had his future back there, what about now? In the light of these two pictures. In the presence of Almighty God. I don't know what the future is. None of us do, but who cares? We know who holds the future. Now watch. Patience. Listen to it. Patience. Some of us get in such a hurry. I think that many a good man has done that. You get in too much of a hurry. You want to see. You want to do it yourself. This church has learned one lesson. I'm trying to learn it with you. Because maybe I discovered the principle. That I simply preach the word and stand back and see if it works. If it doesn't work, I can't make it work. I can't make me work. I can't make you work. Brother Branham mentioned, he said, remember I was a little guy, I was a kid 16 years of age. I put on these muscles. You know, he could win the ring and box like beat 40. But he said, suddenly, about age 21 or so, I didn't have what I once had. Now he said, I ate the same food. What happened? I'm dying. So I'm going downhill. See? What was he talking about? A life that had a certain span had taken over his body regardless of anything he could do. Then if this word comes to life in us, will it not do the same? There's only one thing you can do. When you get a body that's flesh bound, that's made out of earth, you eat the things that come out of the earth. And your body then takes care of the best it can until its cycle is over. Now you're eating eternal life food for immortality, and the cycle will never get over. Somebody here has got to have it. Look, my God, folk, I don't preach what I preach. Believing what Brother Branham said about me. Pastoring a small group of people here. With nobody sitting in the pews that's going to make it. Somebody here's got to make it. I think even whole families. I'm getting very expansive now. When I look at him who holds the future, we are in his time and we recognize, what else do you need? Sodom and Gomorrah, never recognized Lot did. And Lot never even had the chance to be in the presence of God. And you know what had he been? He'd have missed it. I don't believe that Lot would have caught on for a minute. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm giving my own interpretation. I've got no reason to say it, except I just doubt it. And you say, why? Because I tell you, the foolish virgin were also in his presence, and they missed it. There is a certain elect people, and that is all. Now, he said, you want to see, you want to do it yourself. That's why they missed 1977. They're wrong. Now, minister brethren, you know from whence I'm talking. What my stand is. What my doctrine. You that's listening to this tape, I'm talking to you. Not only a little congregation here, but men around the world. Many men go out impatient, but believing that the time is near, you try to do something within yourself. I want to ask you one word. Where was the word before Moses gave it to the people? In Moses. Where was the word before Brother Branham preached it? In William Branham. He knew what he was to say. And he used his own words to say it. Even he called the Canadians mossbacks. He said, God told me to say it. I believe it. I got no problem there. Now, he said, you want to do something within yourself. What about William Branham if he would have tried to do something with that word? He'd have blown it. The wider churches get all pepped up trying to work some little guinea out to make it work. Now, if anybody gets the idea, our little mess hall back there is something to make a spiritual, you got it wrong. It's in here where you get the spiritual. Out there is where you rub shoulders and project a love of society. And you make each other your best friends and companions. Because you know your fellowship is not in the world. And you're not trying to live by yourselves. But you say, we need each other, we love each other. I'm looking to see this church grow, not by eating out there. That's simply sitting down, sharing food and rubbing shoulders and saying, hey, we love each other so much we'll sit around here rather than go home. Not this bad to go home. You know, that's your freedom of choice. But anything we have in fellowship is because we love each other and we associate with each other. And if we don't love each other enough, we'll associate until the bars break down. You say, that's a bit of psychology, Brother Bill. Well, I'm not saying it isn't. Never did say it wasn't. What do you think? But I'm not one of these impatient guys trying to make a word work. I'm looking at psychology when I say these things. When I talk of a word working, I simply know this. What I take from Brother Branham, plant in your hearts, minds, and your souls, if you are not seed and I am not seed, it isn't going to do any good anyway. But if it is, there's going to be some new creatures come forth as far as the body's concerned. Now listen. Go out impatient. Trying to do something within themselves. Wait upon the Lord. Patience is virtue. Now let's read and understand how he uses the virtue, the word the same as he used the word virtue from Peter, applying it to Christ, who said, virtue has gone out of me. Word virtue there is dunamis, which is power. Now watch. Patience is virtue. If you can have patience, it's virtue. It's virtue. Healing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If you can just stand steady with this word, you'll get your strength. You'll get your healing. This message will be your healing. If you can be patient. If you can look at what is here now, which is far above a little healing, which Brother Branham deals with, rising with healing in his wings is immortality, not a prayer line healing or a miracle healing, but a genuine body of incorruption forming around the Word and around our souls and around ourselves. They'll renew their strength. Not they that try to get ahead of the Lord. They that try to tell the Lord. What if you don't try to tell? What are you doing? You're trying to listen. Right? Lord, I know you want me to do this and glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't do that. Now, he's talking to preachers. I know what he means. Wait upon the Lord. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew their strength from what? The Word. Listen. Brother, sister, understand. Now, hear me carefully. The Word of strength is the Word of patience. No patience, no strength. If you ever start, like people said, why doesn't Brother Branham do so-and-so? Why didn't he do so-and-so? Why doesn't Lee Vail do so-and-so? Why didn't he do so-and-so? Why doesn't Lloyd do so-and-so? Why don't our deacons do so-and-so? Why don't do so-and-so? You are on dangerous ground. Because you're becoming questioning. Faith does not question. The more questions, the less answers. The more you sit and watch, the more you'll see. How many get People's Magazine? Nobody but me. All right, it's a gossipy, racy magazine. And I do get intrigued at times because of the articles. And the last two issues dealt with Andy Warhol, who simply was, in my books, weird. But his diary is now made public. And it's full of everything he sat back and watched. And it is a revelation about even Jackie O. Ho, 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 ho. And Hollywood. Now, my mind's not full of it. But it tickled me immensely that this bird spilled the beans. Which is a picture of the judgment day when every one of man's deeds will be exposed. And he lowers the boom on Mick Jagger's and Bianca, his wife. And all the dirt. And if Andy Warhol was invited to all their parties because they thought he was somebody, and he was somebody, an artist and the whole bit, you know. Weird, real weird. You're going to be invited to God's party whether you want to be or not. And you are right now. One man stood there and said, I take every spirit under my control, and not one out of a million could have hid. Or 5 million or 1 billion. Well, we don't need Andy. But it's interesting, isn't it? Strange. I read all these things. They help me out to a degree because I can tell you. And let you know there's nothing that isn't going on from this word right now. It's all over, brother, sister. When the dirt has all been revealed, and it has been, and the St. Jack Kennedy has proved to be a hint, and the Speaker of the House had as his main man the brother-in-law of a daughter, a rapist and a murderer. Where are you going, America? I want to know this, honey child. Lee Vail is not hid, and you are not hid. Your thoughts are being put down on paper right now by God, and they speak louder in heaven than my words in this pulpit. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's give God the glory, brother. It's the truth. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Judgment begins at the house of God. Don't try to put it on the sinner. Judgment began right there. I'm glad he pronounced there's a virgin bride that didn't even do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Renew their strength from what source? Looking at the Word. Talking the Word as in Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Some still haven't got the understanding what you're doing. If somebody speaks up, it's a matter, well, that guy's taking preeminence. He's taking the floor. Nobody has the floor in those meetings. You all got to say what you want to say. But if you find you're wrong, don't you gross and growl. You come and ask me questions, I'll lay it on the line. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Because I think I know the doctrine. Lying in the sun, lying in the word, brings on the rapture. 149, God took thousands of years to fulfill his promise of a coming Savior. That's a baby born. But remember, he knew it all the time when it was coming. Only the Father in heaven knows. There were many people who rose up and tried to be Messiahs. That's right. Many churches tried to produce Messiahs. That's right. But God had the time set for his Messiah, and he wasn't in any hurry. And William Branham's been gone 24 years, and God's in no rush. Now you see, I never quaver and quiver about when he's coming. That's his business. What I argue about is, when's he going to get me out of here? That is, not by rapture, but let me have a nice peaceful death. I'm afraid I'm a little bit worldly. I'm a lot like the actor who said, I forget who said it, but I remember once who said it. And he said, I didn't want a great deal out of life. He said, I just wanted to grow up and get rich and get married and have a nice family and die without pain. It's about all I ever wanted. Just when am I going to go, Lord? It'd be nice if you took me out. I don't like to suffer. That's one thing I don't like to suffer. But he's good to me. All right, let's keep moving. 150. And during the time of this, he showed many types of Messiahs. He showed it all the way from Adam to the Messiah. First and last Adam. One of them of the world, the other one of heaven. One earthly, one heavenly. One came down from heaven, other came off the earth. But promised a Messiah, he took thousands of years. 4,000 years, I can't understand the Bible. It took 4,000 years to produce it. Right from the Garden of Eden. Now then, he's going to bring a lot of types in here. And what he's doing is typing to the Lord Jesus in human form and human flesh. Now, Brother Branham, however, comes to Matthew 12. That is Matthew 12. How do you type it? Where do we go with it? I don't know. But he's got to help us somehow. I hope he does. David portrayed it. When David was a rejected king, went to the top of the hill, looked back and went toward Jerusalem, rejected king. That was Jesus and David, you know, weeping, going up Golgotha. 800 years later, Jesus stood upon Jerusalem as rejected king. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how would I have hovered you as a hen or brood? You would not. Look at Joseph, born among brethren. Patriarchs, not the last, next to last. Benjamin's the last one. But just before the last, see, just before it. Now that's a type right there. Brother Branham before Jesus, coming back on earth. Hated of his brothers, loved of his father. Hated because he was a spiritual man. Could interpret dreams, exactly right. Could see visions, foretell things that would happen. They hated him. Sold for 30 pieces of silver. What did they do? What did they hate Jesus for? Called him Beelzebub. Because he was of the Word. The Word can discern the thoughts that's in the heart. They hated him, and they sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Now, you understand that the Pentecostal church sold the Holy Ghost down the river. They thought they could take him with tongues to every church in the world. And that had to be God. I'm sorry, it's not so. Now, they hated him because he could discern. Now, discernment then is a type of Matthew 12. Hebrews 4 and 12, the Word of God. Discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And William Branham had the gift of discernment. Not the discerning of spirits. The gift of discernment. The judging between. He was thrown in a pit, Joseph was. Supposedly dead. Bloody coat was left behind, like Jesus' bloody garment that was taken up from the cross. The robe he wore identifies death. That's a beautiful type. Listen to the types. But what did God do to Joseph? Brought him out of the pit, set him to the right hand of Pharaoh. No man could see Pharaoh, only Joseph. When Joseph left the palace, trumpets blew. A proclamation went forth. Every knee bowed. Joseph's approaching. Now, let's stop and hear what Brother Branham said. Joseph was second to the last. Benjamin, beloved of God. He's talking about himself, I think. And he's saying the next thing is, Jesus, I'm in between. And he said concerning Joseph, nobody could see Pharaoh except for Joseph. Now, can you go this far this morning that nobody can see God except to William Branham? If you can't go that far, you do not belong in this church at this point. You go back and sit in the Sunday school class. And you come back when I can teach you something. There's no revelation outside of William Branham's. Because every table is full of vomit, and there is nobody but nobody spoken of in Revelations, the third chapter, whose eyes are not blinded by self-seduction. Jesus himself stands outside. Now, how is he going to get to us? All the prophets says only by prophets. And they say, go away, William Branham. We're a great people. Hell are you? I got the Holy Ghost. I've had a vision. I'm so sick and tired of those nice old men. I literally hate their guts, spiritually speaking, in the light of the Word of God. Oh, they're so nice. Well, Brother Bill, I've had a vision too. Drop dead. He said, Brother Bill, we'd love you if you weren't so mean. Well, don't bother loving me. I don't give a rip. I got to stand here in soft soap. You're not worth a nickel. I'm not worth a nickel. If God Almighty vomits, a little bit of His Spirit will make me vomit too over this stuff. If there's an incorn angel going around marking those with the Holy Ghost who sigh and cry over sin, tell me there's only one sin, and that's unbelief. You sigh and cry. You hate the very thing. Can't stand that Pentecostal nonsense. You had a vision. You or your father had something speak to him. What? My dear old daddy. My dear old mammy. My dear old brother. There's my dear brother right there, William Branham. There's my heavenly father in the picture. Say, well, Lee Bale, you're crazy. Thank you very much. I appreciate that compliment. I hope I've lost my mind and got his. Nobody bows the knee to William Branham. These men had the Holy Ghost, and Paul the Apostle, who wanted to press toward the full identification, he said there's a full identification coming when God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, comes down in the Spirit. And in that Spirit will be wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Nobody else has it. Your theologians won't admit to it. They'll say, well, you see what it is, it's coming, and of course, we're going to be the one to get it. Well, that fine old man, the Pope, who looks like a sick old woman in his funny garments, has a just as good a chance as the Pentecostals, maybe a whole lot better. When men claiming God got to go around in robes like women, and women got to go around pants like men, I'm not interested. You say you're being slanderous. Well, have a lot of fun doing it. I want to ask you a question. Who introduced the Pharaoh but Joseph? Right. Who was Joseph? The prince of prosperity. Tell me anybody in the 20th century had the prosperity of William Branham. Rich in the knowledge of God. Surfeited in the knowledge of God. So deep and immeasurable in the knowledge of God, he could barely pick up a little drop of sand of revelation, give it to us. But we stood there wondering. Who introduced him to us? Who did the introducing? Who taught us worship? Who taught us tongue confession? Who taught us all these things? Who did not beguile us? Who did not fool us? Who brought us the truth? God's prophet. And I'm not eulogizing Brother Branham in contradistinction to Jesus Christ, but I'm giving honor to whom honor is due. And my Bible said this is the work of God, the will of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. And if God didn't send William Branham, the kingdom of God is divided. You can say what you want. The kingdom of God has come to nothing. And all your prayers and all your understanding and all your thoughts that you've got, you better bury them. And if you've got an ounce of energy, for God's sake, go out and have all the sinful fun you can have, because you're going to die anyway. You people got diabetes. Come on, girls, kick up those, bring those most sinful desserts in by the pile. Dawn, hop to it. Where's Beth? Beth, just bring them in and let the diabetics die and have a good time dying, because that's all there is. I'm not being dramatic. I'm not stretching for it. I'm telling you the truth. The trouble is this. I am not expressing the truth deep enough and wide enough and true enough. And my understanding is infinitesimal. My grasp is poor. My heart feelings are very low. But my tongue is telling the truth. And just one day, as it was the prophet, we're catching up with his tongue. We, by the grace of God, will catch up with our tongues. Because it goes out and comes in and goes down and comes up bigger and better and goes in and comes down and increases and increases and increases until one day we'll be satisfied because the Bible said so. But the fruit that lifts my belly shall be satisfied. Yeah. It's got to be. So, Brother Bale, you make a lot of noise over little old thus saith the Lord. Well, bless God, why didn't you find someone and give me some of them? I'm not interested in any myself. I don't want any. I wouldn't try. I'm not least interested. I've already got it. And I've already sold myself by whatever I'm dealing with. And maybe I'm not listening to God. Maybe I'm fooled by what I think the prophet said. Maybe I'm fooling you. But brother, sister, I believe the prophet did say, if the properly germatized seed falls in the proper fertilized ground, all it needs is sun and rain. And we are the ground or the husbandry of God. And the seed is already in our soul, which is the seed of God. And the word of God has met with it by the Holy Ghost. All we've got to do is stand back. Feed the word of God, and there's going to be somebody here make the resurrection and get out of here in a rapture. Now you say what you want. That's passive faith. And with it, there's an active faith. And what's the active faith? You can only love God as you love your brother. You only serve God as you serve your brother. You can only know truth as you hear the prophet. There's lots of things you and I can do. And if we've got a true, legitimate, revelatory, passive faith, we will have an active faith. And I see it amongst you. But I'm not satisfied with myself or with you. And I'm looking for more and more of the sweet spirit of Jesus Christ to come into this building and everybody gets healed. And there's no reason not to be. 157. He was all shown in types. But God knew exactly when he would come. He knew exactly when he came. No matter how many they had before that, he had his Messiah. He showed them in types they were coming. And with William Branham, even the great man from Zion City, Dowie, who would not believe that he was Elijah until one day somebody approached him and said, Brother Dowie, it is certainly evident that you must be Elijah, which was for to come. And he said, I rose up in anger and sent him away. But as I thought on it, he got tricked. He said, it certainly appeared natural that I was, because he was the man just outside of Chicago. The skies were brass. The grounds were completely burnt up. The grass had withered and gone. The fruit had perished. Nature languished. And he said, I will bring rain. And rain came down in torrents. Well, he said, bless God, it must be Elijah. many a man, many a robe, many a garment purported to be, and led them astray. But William Branham had, thus saith the Lord, thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And never once did he exalt William Branham. And when he seemed to go a little bit Barnum and Bailey, God took him aside and said, "You made a sideshow." That's the Spirit of God, not this other thing. Yep. Just exactly like, how many minutes we got? Okay. I'll read this one paragraph and quit, because I'm over time now. Just exactly like he showed us the seven church ages that would come. See, that was coming there, see? No, the seven church ages, that was the fire on the wall. That's the seals. Just exactly what he showed us would come when he set that light up there in Revelation to show to the world. Now, he talks about the seals now. When he sent the seven angels to reveal the seven messengers that had come down through there and show the loose ends, each angel coming each day and revealing the loose ends that Luther left, that Wesley left, that Pentecost left, is all represented in there. Now, the point is this. He says those messengers, and he calls them like the seven angels to reveal. Only the Holy Ghost can reveal. So they would have to be embodiments of the Holy Ghost bringing the word that was left off and coming. What was left off? What Paul was pressing into. The identification with Christ is your righteousness. Brother, sister is great. But you got to press into the other. What is that one? This one right here. Matthew 12. When the great one comes down and sets the church in order. The revelation of himself that brings from the shout to the voice and carries us over. There's a picture right there. And in the very type and shadow of the great Shalom, Jehovah. J-H-V. Should be J-H-V. He's got J-V-H-U, but there's no vowels. See, exactly. Threw it in the skies. And there is a mechanical eye taking the picture, see? Thank the Lord. Now what he's doing here, he hasn't gone to the battle to take types that would bring him up to himself. But he shows the vindication by prophetic word that says in Deuteronomy, when the prophet says it and it comes to pass, you fear him, you hear him. Now, you know that the Bible tells us not to fear anybody. So how do you fear a prophet? You don't. You fear the word that the prophet brings. You fear the God of the prophet. A true prophet of God, William Branham, is a kind and sweet and understanding man like Jesus said, suffer little children, come unto me and driven to God. So not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, be loosed. Kind sweetness, but stood right there the word. Shalom, peace, don't be weary. Jesus is here. What Jesus? Revelation 10:1. His great light has come to us. The day star. We're thankful for it. Yes, his word, the great mystery. Revelation 10:7. Here he is today manifesting himself, the day star again. Doing the same he did then. Just the same. Doing the very same thing this morning. The morning star. Same thing. What is it? It is 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Manifested as described in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. We're creatures of time. He's God of eternity. We try to press ourselves. We try to make something different. Oh, this has got to be done. Remember, he knows all about it. It's going to happen anyhow. Let him do it. Just commit yourself to him. In other words, get your passive and your active faith together. And don't let your active faith ever transgress and trespass on your passive. And don't let your passive faith think that you can activate any type of manifestation or vindication. Keep the parallel straight. All right. Was I correct on saying we were on number 19? I'll mark number 20 right here at the top for next Sunday morning. You love the Lord? I want to ask you a question. Are you going to leave this building better than when you came here? Well, if you don't, it's not my fault. It's yours. It's not God's. I told you things I had no thought I was going to tell you this morning. Beyond my notes. You see what I trust? And I'll be honest with you. I trust one thing. If my mind says one thing to me during the week, it's not a matter of deep, intensive study. It's a matter of that mind knowing something, and the subconscious being full of the Holy Ghost can bring all these things to my remembrance. The same works for you, not like it does with me, but the same works for you, because the Holy Spirit works the same way. Where the Holy Ghost had Brother Branham in a complete groove, I am not in a complete groove, but the Holy Ghost will do for me what my ministry indicates, just the same as it did for Brother Branham, just as intensively, if I wait on the Lord the same as he did. But it'll never be William Branham. Neither will you be in my position, which is near nothing. I'm not looking for any of you grandize me up here and say anything. That doesn't matter. If I've got something, it's going to work. If I don't, it's not going to work. And nobody sells anybody anything. Let's rise at this time. Come on, Francis. Let's see if we can pray for you. Come on. Got enough word, bless God, to take off 30 pounds in 30 years, as well as cure your diseases. Your trouble is, you want a hernia or something? Okay. Heavenly Father, our sister thinks one thing, I might think another, but you know exactly what her trouble is. I don't. But you said, lay hands upon the sick and they should recover. We lay hands upon her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray sincerely, Lord, for this sister. She has her problems here. Relieve her of her problems, O God. And give her healing to her body. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your glory. Amen. If it's there, it'll pass away, I believe. Whatever it is, we have no problem. Let's just be dismissed. Heavenly Father, dismiss us now. Your love and your mercy have been manifested this morning, Lord, as we've covered a little more ground and seen a little more surely, Lord, the Scripture, how it lays out, how the prophet taught it, what he said about it. Oh, God, to know that you let us have a part of it this morning is overwhelming within our souls and our spirits. It brings us down, Lord, at your feet. And look up in your eyes and say how wonderful our God is. We don't have to go by feelings. We don't have to go by emotions. None of these things matter anymore, Lord. But the living word of the living God matters. And Lord, we know that you'll work in our souls, our hearts and minds the way it should be. With the right spirit, with the right everything. Until we come together, Lord, as you've never come together before. Meeting around you, the living word, and that word living through us. Help us now as we go. Be with us. Bring us back. Keep us ever in your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.